strong. Yes. Amen. This morning we're going to be talking about hope has a name. Don't get too comfortable, because as Shane said, God is in this place. He absolutely, and he told me yesterday, if my people will come in with a spirit and attitude of worship, if they will put their problems aside, if they will forget everything that's going on in their lives, things they don't have, things they're trying to get rid of, if they will come humbly before me and forget everything and focus on me, I will do a new thing. Amen?
Amen.
If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel 16. And I'm not going to preach long, because I already knew God had other plans.
Amen.
And I said, God, it's not my show anyway. You just tell me what you want me to do and I'll follow. If you want me to speak, I'll speak. If you want me to worship, I'll worship. If you want me to pray for some people, I'm going to pray for some people, regardless of the enemy. Because I believe that we've got the enemy shaking. There's some of us that's really getting a hold of this thing. There's some of us that's really looking at COVID-19 saying it doesn't have all the bite that it once had. Its bark may be loud. Its tone may be fierce, but I serve a God who is that lion. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah, and by one snap of the finger, he can wipe it away.
Hallelujah.
1 Samuel 16, in verse 1, it says, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul? How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel?" How long, I ask you this morning, how long are you going to mourn for what God has already put under his feet? How long are you going to mourn and cry over your past? Because when he said, if you'll just come before me and ask for forgiveness, I put your sins as far as the east is from the west, never to remember them again. Why are you still mourning over something that's already been erased?
Yeah. Amen.
God tells Samuel, fill thine horn with oil and go. And God's telling many of us, don't sit there and weep for yesterday. Don't sit there and weep for something I've already rejected. Don't sit there crying and worrying, how am I going to get through the next day and the day after that? Because God said, I've already rejected it. I've already put it behind you. You are to fill your horn and go.
Yes. Amen.
Fill your horn with oil and go. That represents the presence of God. Not only are you supposed to go, but you're supposed to take the presence of God with you. He said, I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. Do you realize that we're kings to the throne? We're heirs. We were adopted in to that lineage. In verse 2 it says, and Samuel said, how can I go? Samuel being the prophet, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. How many times have we said, God, how can I take that next step? My enemy is still right there in my face. If I take a next step, he's going to hit me even harder. He's going to come roaring. He's going to come at me with everything that he has. And he has worn me down. My mind is weary. My soul is weary. My body is weary. He said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with thee and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. See, he didn't tell Samuel what to do before he actually took a step. He just said, go. Go. Once you get there, I'll tell you what to do. See, God doesn't always tell us and show us the full staircase. He doesn't show us the whole map in our journey. He just wants our willingness, our obedience to say, God, if you send me, if you tell me to go, I'm going to be bold enough to take that next step. And when I do take that next step, God, you're going to be faithful to lead me, to guide me, and to direct me. It says, and call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him who I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, comest thou peaceably? And he said, peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves. And come with me to the sacrifice and be sanctified, Jesse and his sons, and call them to the sacrifice. In verse 6, and it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. Samuel looked at the stature of Eliab and said, surely this is the Lord's anointed. He's got all the right features. He's tall. He's strong. He's got muscles. He's a warrior. Surely, he's the anointed one. Have you ever been looked at? You're not anointed. You don't look like much. You don't look like you can hold it together. You don't look like any warrior in my mind. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. See, we have to realize that people will look on the outward appearance. People will look at your stature. People will look at your strength. People will put you under a microscope when trouble comes. People will examine you to see how are you going to handle trouble when it comes to you. People will look at you and say, when you have moments of weakness and you fall apart, and you lose your temper, you have anger spouts, and maybe you just fall apart and you ball up and you cry. They mistake that for weakness. They mistake that for signs of weakness and insecurity. But we just read, man looks on the outward appearance, but I look at the heart. Because when you stop crying, when you pick up all the pieces, because there's going to come a day that those tears will stop falling for what you're crying about. God even told Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul? Because I've already rejected him. It is a closed case. I've already handled it. How long will you mourn for him? How long will you cry for him? The enemy will look at you in your sad state. He will look at you when you're crying. He will look at you when you're angry. He will look at you when you feel like all hope is lost. But as long as you're breathing, as long as you look into the hills, as long as you look up, you have hope. There is a hope that is not contingent on what the world says. Hope is not contingent on what a face mask does. Hope is not contingent on what statistics say. Hope is not contingent on what government says. Amen? But hope has a name. Hope has a name unlike any other name. Hope came in when the world walked out. Hope rises up when the enemy says there is no hope. Hope comes in the least darkest times, and in the most darkest times, Hope comes in and tells you, pick yourself up. Hope comes in and says, it won't always be this way. Hope comes in when the doctor says there's no way out. Hope creeps in and says, yes, you can. Pick yourself back up. Remember who you serve. Remember the word that I have put deep down in your belly.
Amen.
Hope has a name this morning. Hope is not in what man believes. Hope is not in what your spouse or your parents or your children or grandchildren, your friends, your co-workers. Hope is not found in any of these people. But hope has a name. And that name makes demons tremble. That name makes sickness flee. That name tears off every spirit of affliction. That name, above all other names, gives us hope in a hopeless situation. Do I hear anybody this morning? Am I talking to any hopeless people this morning? The devil has tried to wear you out little by little, day after day. Problem here, problem there. He will remind you of your past and not let you forget about it. He will remind you of that pain in your back. He'll remind you of that doctor's appointment that you're not really sure how it's going to go. He will remind you day after day, look who hurt you. Look what pain you endured. What kind of God would allow you to go through such hell and torment? But hope, in spite of all that, hope has a name. Because see, if hope didn't have a name, David would not have been anointed. If hope didn't have a name, Samuel would not have had the faith to walk into the house of Jesse knowing that there was a king that he had already anointed. And now I'm going to anoint someone else. I'm surely going to have a death sentence. If Saul finds out, I'm done. Many of us are saying, I can't take that step forward. Because if I do, the enemy is going to find out. The enemy is going to have me. The enemy is going to come after me. Why do you think God told Samuel, fill your horn with oil? Take that presence of me with you. Take that anointing. Because see, when you walk out into your own self, yeah, the devil's going to beat you up. Tear you up, have you for lunch, and come back the next day to do it all over again. But when we fill our horn with oil, when we gird ourselves with the anointing of God, and that's just a symbol. God, I'm not going out there alone. I'm not going out there by myself. Because I'm taking your presence with me. I'm clothed with your anointing. I'm clothed with something that the devil can't fight. I'm clothed with something that the enemy cannot come against. I'm clothed with something that the enemy cannot win against. When we decide to take our horn and fill it with oil and go without any direction, without any instruction.
Yes.
I'll admit that yesterday I had some alone time with God. And I was going to the grocery store, and I told my husband, I said, if anybody, and I'm sure they did, if anybody saw me in my truck driving down the road, they would have swore I was on something, I was drunk, I had something wrong with my head, because as I was driving, I'm throwing up my hands, I'm clapping my hands, yeah, I'm clapping my hands while I'm driving with my knee. And I started praying, and the more that I started praying, the more I felt God's anointing. The more I started praying, the more I started feeling the presence of God. And God started directing me in some things. He didn't give me the whole picture. I came home and I told you. I don't understand. I don't know the whole picture. But God, I know that you're my God. I know that what you tell me, I have to obey. I can't go back. I can't question it. I can't doubt in my heart. Because you brought me too far. You've done too much for me to question you. You've done too much and been too good for me. And give to me. I said, God, I'll obey you to the letter. I will obey you at all costs. It may not make sense. I don't care if it makes sense. I don't care that these people around me are looking like, let me get over in the other lane because she's not all there. When we realize that God is leading us and taking us somewhere. He's leading us and taking us somewhere. But we're doing this.
Yes.
I'm not letting go. This is my past. This is mine. I've got too much to hold on to and let go of it. I've got too much hurt. If I let go of it, what's left? There's too much of my ego. There's too much of my insecurities. And while we're holding on to something that God said, I've already rejected that thing. I've already put it under my feet. And what you don't realize is that thing's already under your feet. Why are you holding on to it? Why are you mourning for it? How many of us are still tied up by the feelings of things God already rejected? How many of us would honestly say, God, you delivered me from Egypt, but my mind still wanders back to those days of being in Egypt. My mind still wanders back. At least we had leeks and garlic. At least back then, I had somewhat good. At least back then. And God comes to us. Why are you still mourning for that that I've already rejected? It is behind you for a reason. God was telling Samuel. Man messed it up. They wanted a king. God didn't want Saul. The people wanted Saul. So he directed Samuel, anoint him. Knowing, you better be careful what you ask God for. The wise thing to do is, God, give me wisdom and let your will be done in every area, not my will. God, if there's something else, something better, something different, God, let the scales fall from my eyes and show me. But either way, I'll be happy because your will is being done in my life. But now that Saul was rejected of God, God made that clear to Samuel. I've rejected him. But now, there's another one. And this time, man does not look at it. This time, man does not appoint it. This time, it's not even a thought, even into his daddy's mind. It's not even a blip on a screen in the thought of his brothers. I have found someone who has a heart like me. I have found someone who gets by himself, even tending sheep, and he sings praises to me, even as a child. I have found someone who I can trust. I have found, not perfect, I can trust. I have found someone who I'm going to strengthen. And all he told Samuel was go. Fill your horn with oil and go. And I'll tell you what to do when you get there.
Yeah.
Many of us are being judged by our choices and our decisions. But God reminds us today, don't look on the outward appearance. Don't look at the decisions that so-and-so makes. Don't look at the decisions that Shane makes. I'm looking at his heart because his heart is right before me. He knows when he messes up. He knows when he doesn't follow me. He knows when he hears my voice and when he hears that of man. Samuel was fearful to anoint another to be king while the previous king was still king. He was still around. You may still have trouble staring you in the face. Samuel said that to God. You mean to tell me that you want me to go and anoint somebody else to be king when he's still alive? And in our terms, you're telling me, God, that I should give you all praise and glory as if I were healed? When sickness is still in my body, when I still face it day after day, you're telling me to speak the things that are not as though they are? Are you telling me that I'm already healed because of what you did right here? And the sickness is still there. It's still a reminder every time I go to the doctor's office. It's a reminder every time that I get up. Yes, you are to do that. Because hope has a name. This name that is above all names. He didn't go to that cross just to be hanging there. He didn't go just for picture's sake. He didn't go just to say, I died on the cross. He went there with power. He went there with authority. And even today, if you are sick in your body, hope has a name. And that name, that makes cancer cells just start trembling. That name that had to come under subjection. That name that causes demons to tremble. That name. Somebody shout out that name. Oh, that's not going to even make something tremble. I'm not scared of that. Some of you, Jesus. And you're looking at Jesus. Jesus. But the thing is, the enemy comes in with a loud roar. You're dying. There's no hope. There's no prayer that you could throw up that God would hear. There is nothing that you can do or say. And some of us, when we get down and out, and Satan wears us out, I'm down for the count. God, just go ahead and take me out. It'd be so much easier. It'd be so much better if you just take me out of my misery. And God said, oh, but you got something that the enemy hadn't counted on. You got something inside of you that will deny every claim of the enemy. You've got something inside of you that's working on your behalf. When you can't even utter a prayer, the Holy Spirit is making groanings in the spirit for you. There's something working down each and every person here today. You just got to tap into it. You just got to decide, am I going to live or am I going to die? Because hope tells me I'm going to live. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care the hell that I've went through. I don't care that the enemy comes to me. He's going to come to me today. He's going to come to me tomorrow. But instead of listening to him, I'm going to look at him and say, let me tell you about something. I'm not worried about the pain in my body. I'm not worried about the worry in my mind. I'm not worried about my children. I'm not worried about my job situation. I'm not worried because I have hope. Let me tell you about the hope that I have. Hope doesn't come from man. Hope doesn't come from the world. Hope doesn't give me my security. What hope does is that five-letter name. And let me just preface that, because I know when I shout that name, shout, not whisper. Because see, the enemy doesn't whisper to us. He makes it loud. He makes it known. He wants to rattle our cages. And I think today's as good a day as any to start rattling back. Because see, the enemy, he's watching us. He's watching every move we make. He's seeing, yep, he's down, he's defeated, I got him. I'm just planting seeds, and they're growing, and they're watering. And he's hanging on to them. He's not paying no mind to that word. He's not paying no mind to what's in him. I'm pushing him away. I'm putting division. I'm separating him. But when God gets a hold,
yes.
When God says, I'm raising up a standard. Hope has a name. Hope has a name. And when you start feeling that fountain start bubbling up inside of you, saying, wait a minute, I'm still breathing. I'm still alive. That should tell me that God has purpose for me today. Why am I sitting here feeling sorry for myself? Why am I sitting here worried about things that I cannot even change? Why am I worried about what the doctor says? Why am I worried about what he doesn't say? The one thing I do know is the hope that dwells inside of me. That hope. Now, when you start saying it out loud, and I was speaking it in my truck yesterday, I said, God, I don't care who hears me. I don't care who sees me. I do not care. But God, from my mouth to your ears. And not only that, I'm going to make Satan tremble just for a little while. He has made me tremble once too many. Let me tell you about my God.
Amen.
Let me tell you about my hope. And when you start doing that, you will see a difference in your spirit. You will see a change in the atmosphere. My God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver me out of them all. When you start saying the word, Satan starts, what is she doing? What is she doing? I don't understand. And the more that I did it, it was like a whale being pulled out of me. I said, God, I don't want this to stop. Don't let me lose this. Don't let it end. Because Satan doesn't want to hear that. Satan wants to hear your worries. Satan wants to hear your unbelief. He wants to hear your doubts, your what ifs, your fear. But when you start reminding God, you have been too good to me to turn back now. You have done far for me than I could ever repay you for. And these light afflictions, yeah, they're temporary, but God, your glory is forever. God, your kingdom is forever. Your word is forever. And I began driving down the road, and I started thinking of the goodness of God. And I started saying, devil, it's coming out of me. It's coming out of me. You know it's coming out of me. It's the name above all names that makes you tremble. It's the name above all names that makes you touch your tail and run. It's the name above all names who fights and cuts every attack you've ever done. It's the name that breaks every chain. And I started saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I started out with a whisper because at the time I was feeling, God, it seems like it's been a long time since I have felt this way. That you get so sick and tired of being sick and tired, you just throw your hands up in humbleness and humility and say, God, do what you got to do. If you got to strike me down, strike me down. But I'm humbling myself to you. I'm yielding myself to you. I'm throwing my hands up in surrender to you. And that's when God started pumping. That's when he's saying, there's that hope that I've instilled in you. There is what that spirit that is dwelt inside of you will do. I started saying, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And I couldn't stop saying it. I got louder. And I said, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I praised myself happy.
Amen.
And that's what we've got to learn to do. We've got to learn that no matter how bad it gets, and everybody listen to me, no matter how bad it gets, we should never stop praising the name of Jesus. We cannot stop praising the name of Jesus. Because every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I don't want to wait until that great and terrible day of the Lord to admit, yeah, God, you're who you say you are. I want to do it now, while I'm in my right mind, while I'm still able, while I'm still breathing, and declare to you that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the only way. He is the true way. He is the light. He is the director of my life. You may still have trouble staring you in the face. And once you say Jesus, and once you start praying over that thing and commanding that thing, yeah, we can command, because Jesus said, greater works shall ye do. Command that thing, get under my feet. You do not have dominion over me. I am not going to wake up worried and fearful about things I can't even control. But what I will do, I will pray. I will humble myself. I will seek God's face in everything, in every area, knowing that He's working behind the scenes. He's working on your behalf. Do you realize that? He's working on your behalf. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name shall do what? Boast themselves? Say that nobody can replace me. I am a star. I can do it all. Nope. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. We need revival. Would you agree?
Amen.
We need revival in the land. But in order to have revival, that's the key. We got to humble ourselves. We got to throw up our hands and surrender and say, I don't care what the enemy is doing. I don't care what he's saying today, because that's temporary and it's probably a lie. But God, what I know about you, you are truth. You are honest and you are good. You have never disappointed me. You have never let me down. And God directed me very specifically. Everybody just bow your heads.